Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins. Sacktown Sports taking you up to 2 p.m. Got a fun segment here at 1:30 as we will discuss our Spotify Wrapped musical tastes. I mean, you know, you kind of look at someone, and it's, you know, you got to be careful here,
yeah,
right, when trying to guess, hey, what type of music that you're into. And all I know is my music, that I would call myself very basic, but not.
Okay.
Right? The artist that I listen to besides the top artist, and yeah, I'm not going to reveal here, would be considered basic,
yes,
right, at the top. But then after that, you're going to know my number one, and you're probably not going to know anyone else. That's how my breakdown is.
I feel like my breakdown isn't the same, but I've never heard anyone describe their music taste like that, but that's probably exactly how I would describe mine as well, where
right,
it's like, yes, I listen to your top artists. If mm-hmm, you, like you said, I won't spoil anything, but I listen to your top artists, but really besides them, like besides the big three, maybe four, if you
right,
will, it's really just a bunch of people that I assume no one has ever heard of.
Yes, and for me, it was tough once the streaming got going. I was one of the last people to kind of hop on, right, the Apple Music and the Spotify's, because I was the guy, I don't know if you were the guy as well, I was the guy who you get the auxiliary cord and you just look for people's face to say, hey, who is this? I had the new music
yeah,
first. So once the landscape changed in probably, what, 2014, 2015,
something around there, yeah,
I was broken.
Yeah.
That was me. That was what my thing.
Yeah, you had destroyed computers with LimeWire.
That's
huh?
right.
Yeah.
That's
were
right.
Like, but all in a good name of getting that premium playlist.
Hey,
going.
Alan, who is this?
Yeah.
I was the guy.
He
at
said,
the,
"Whoa, wouldn't you like
at
to
the,
know?"
At the hangout, yeah, at the house party.
It was your currency.
Yo,
yeah,
who is this? That was me, and that was taken from me in 2014.
Yeah. When they created those artist radios and stuff,
yeah,
that people just, I mean, I'm guilty of it myself. Sometimes I'll just be like, yeah, let me listen. There's a certain vibe I'm going
yeah,
for here.
Right.
Let me just put on Eminem radio. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever, you know, yeah.
So I still have them because, like I said, you'll see people, but they're not, it's not, if you're already in that area, you would know, right? So
oh,
it's really,
course,
if
yeah,
you don't listen to that type of music or this type of music, you wouldn't know, but it's not the same as, oh, you heard this unreleased whatever, and then
right,
it drops 2 weeks later. No, they drop immediately.
Yes.
Now. They
yeah,
drop immediately now. So we'll get into that at 1:30, and we'll give everybody on the YouTube a look at our Spotify Wraps. And you can judge us. You can judge us. It is okay. If you're music snobs out there, that's fine. If you don't judge us, that's great too.
Please.
As we continue to judge the Kings for not getting it done in the second half of a back-to-back. They are now 0-2.
Ugh.
They have 15 games with no rest. 15 back-to-back situations. They are currently 0-2. How will they finish? Their next one is the Monday after. Would that be next Monday?
Yeah,
it'll be on
Monday. Yes. No, it's going to be on Monday. This
right,
coming
it's
going to
be on Monday.
Yes.
So they would go to Vegas. They would play on Thursday.
Yeah, Wednesday. Is it Thursday?
Yeah,
I know
would,
it's either Wednesday.
They would
or
play
Thursday.
On Thursday. They win. They play on Saturday.
Woo.
Okay, and then whether they win or lose, their next game would be on that Monday, starting a back-to-back where they take uh-huh, on the Nets on Monday at Golden 1, and then they go back to L.A.
Jeez,
to take on the Clippers.
That sounds terrible. I'm exhausted. Just like JR said, he was exhausted watching the game and then having to watch it the next night. That just you laying out what that schedule could be made me exhausted.
Now, let's take it here. Let's say the Kings, let's say, I don't know. We will go with the Pelicans, right? So
yeah,
Pelicans come to town. They've given the Kings some trouble.
Yep.
And they just beat the Sixers, albeit without Joel Embiid, but they just beat the Sixers last night. And they were rolling a little bit. They got CJ McCollum back. This is where it starts to get interesting. And this is where the question becomes how important the in-season tournament is, right? If you are Mike Brown and you're looking at this schedule,
yeah,
and Let's not say the Pelicans game because it's too early. Let's say you get to the semis, right? Let's see, you get to the semis, whoever you're facing, you go down early, right? And you're figuring out, hey, how much do we want to press? And it gets to that fourth quarter range where you're down. Let's say they're down big, right? We've seen this before. And you're Mike Brown, and you say, okay, it's Thursday. We win. We play again Saturday. And then either way, we're going to get one day's rest and then go into that back-to-back. Those games now do not count for your normal record, I don't believe, right?
Just the final. The final is the only game that doesn't count towards
the final.
Record. The final. That game on Saturday, that's the 83rd game of the season.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So now the question is, all right, we're down a good bit. It's Thursday. We win, we play Saturday.
I don't think they would play Saturday. If they lose on Thursday, I don't think they play again.
No, they'd be done.
Yeah.
They'd be done,
yeah,
but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
down big on Thursday,
gotcha.
And now you start thinking, okay, either way, we got to play Saturday if we do come back and win, and now we get one day's rest, we got to fly gotcha. Back from Vegas, and then we go into a back-to-back. How much do you care about the in-season tournament at that point?
Right.
Because you might be sacrificing two games.
Right.
To win one, and then one that doesn't count.
One that, yeah, and ultimately, we're still trying to figure out what it even means. Like,
right.
Does it mean anything?
Is it a tiebreaker? We don't know.
Is it just a spiritual, like hey, we feel good about ourselves, we won the in-season tournament, like which is what pretty much it seems like.
Right, and if they're winning in the other way, okay, do you just keep the guys out there because you really want to win the tournament?
Yeah.
I don't know what you do there.
Yeah. No, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if there's like this is right up your alley. You know how I don't know if it still exists, but there used to be like this thing about the home run derby where you do the home run derby and then second half of the season, you just can't
hit
a home run.
Your swing is all messed up,
I wonder if there will be, that's almost what it sounds like, this situation you're setting up where, like you said, you're almost sacrificing to win one game that might end up screwing you to two or three more games because you put so much effort towards this tournament, this title that is not going to help you when you have to play again on Monday and then on Tuesday, and then who knows what it does for your rest schedule moving on. Mm-hmm. So it's a really interesting dilemma to kind of deal with. And you know, we're just kind of in uncharted territory. I think it is going to be a case-by-case basis where, Mike Brown might say, ultimately this really doesn't do much for, have we already kind of gotten what we needed out of this tournament? Maybe this does mean a little bit more to the Boston Celtics or something. Like, maybe we should just kind of let this tournament play itself out and know that we did our part and we did our job in showing ourselves, and let's live to fight another day. I think it's really interesting, and
everybody's
going to
be watching.
Yeah, I don't
Adam
have an answer.
Silver.
Yeah.
So basically, we're talking,
what is that further incentive? So there's the incentive that we've seen. It apparently worked. The players cared enough to make this tournament to this point work. That's really interesting that once they're there and there's a blowout happening, like what then incentivizes them to keep playing at that, top level? That's
right.
That's fascinating. I don't know. My best answer would be that every team is going to have to make that decision independently.
Oh, man. Well, everybody's going to be watching. Yeah. Adam Silver.
Right.
So, and really, we're talking about maybe the difference between fourth quarter, you're down 25.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to bring in our guys at the start of the fourth and see if we go on a run.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And like a little 5 minute,
how long do you leave
run?
Them in for that run, and how long until you call off the dogs? No pun intended. 916-339-1140. Let's get out to our guy, TC, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, TC? You're on Styles and Watkins. You know what it is.
Yes, sir. Styles and Watkins. What's going on?
What you got for us? How you doing?
All right. I'm all right. Hey, look, check it out. So I got a different approach. You know, the game last night had me kind of mad, but at the same time, if we're trying to be that team to move out the first round and got championship aspiration, you should be able to get up for a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it was an emotional ride and all that, but, the heck with all that, bro. Get up and win the games like we're supposed to be winning. As far as the in-game tournament, we can't come up with different conclusions. Like, that would be big if the Kings – if we can pull this in-game tournament off, it's big. But we can't look at it like, well, wait a minute. Does this really matter? Do we really want to win a tournament because we're trying to save ourselves for back-to-back? No, bro. Like, if you're trying to be a championship team, you should be able to get up for every game. That's like when the Nuggets they blew that lead with the Clippers the other night playing without Jokic, Gordon, and all that, bro. And Reggie Jackson went for 35. Like, come on, man. They got up for that game.
Yeah.
If you want to be – seriously, no, I'm serious. Like, and another thing, also Sabonis. That's what I keep calling you guys talking about. Sabonis got to quit having these games. Dude is great. but this falling asleep at the wheel, every now and then I'm getting up. He struggles against guys with lower gravity. If you're strong on your lower half, like he is, he struggles against those guys. If you're like a high flyer jumping out the gym, trying to block shots like a JJJ or somebody, he can have his way with that. Sabonis has to work on that, bro. You worked all season with Lethal Shooter, with all these shooting drills and all that. Shoot your jumper. Stop passing it, looking for a DHO. Like, sometimes just take it or take the shot, whether you miss it or not. Sabonis has to start showing up, bro. I have nothing against him. I love him. But Sabonis, stop falling asleep at the wheel, please.
TC, call it a day so far, because as we break down the type that Sabonis struggles with, it that's a big thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
That we're going to get into a little bit later, but that is part of it, right? Leapers like to leap, and if you don't have the ability to leap and you don't go for Sabonis' pump fakes, you're just kind of sitting there like the Stephen A. Smith meme, just unimpressed with what Sabonis is doing.
Yeah.
And once that happens, he's a bit stuck.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but it feels to me like it's really clear. It's, you know, in the first quarter, Sabonis, we saw him do it with Anthony Davis. He'll get into your chest, mm-hmm. and he'll let you feel exactly how, much like a boxer, like boxers talk about all the time. Oh, this guy's underestimating me. Oh, once he feels my power, once mm-hmm. he feels my right hand, everything changes. And sometimes it does. Sometimes you get hit with that right hand and you're like, oh, if I get hit with two or three more of those, it's lights out for me.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like that with Sabonis, where he's like, look, I got this left hand that once you get hit with it, you're not going to want to get hit with it again. And I think guys like Anthony Davis, Victor Wembanyama, Chet, those skinnier guys or guys who just aren't physically imposing, they don't want that smoke. But then when you talk about the Zubaches and the Valanciunases that they've played and Sabonis has struggled with, Kevon Looney as well, they're just like, they take that initial blow and they say, that's all you got?
Yep.
And it doesn't move them. And then Sabonis kind of doesn't know what to do. It's like when you know, Hulk is trying to beat up Thanos and Thanos is like, cool. All right,
let
cool.
him have his fun. That's literally what Thanos said. Let him have his fun.
And that's what it looks like sometimes. And then Sabonis really has to rely on his footwork, and big men are just like, look, I know you're trying to get closer to the rim. Mm-hmm. If I just stand here with my hands up and make myself a wall, you got to get around me. Like, there's no way around it. No pun intended. Like, you just, and I don't think he has a counter to that. He doesn't have a turnaround jump shot. People don't respect his mid-range game enough to step out and have him beat him off the dribble. So, yeah, I mean, I think, we're going to get into it more. But if we're building that archetype of the guys who are built to stop Sabonis, mm-hmm. it's guys who have strength and aren't afraid of contact.
Yeah.
And that's really first and foremost what it seems to be the formula for slowing him down.
Yeah, and just like TC said, I mean, you got to unleash that jump shot and make them respect it and pull them out, and then that opens things up. And look
at De'Aaron. De'Aaron's doing the same thing.
Right, and he's making one three. Last night he made two threes of bonus.
And they aired it, but
it's just right. It's just not really moving the guys that he's going up against, because they'll just wear it. Now in a game like that last night, where the game is already decided, it's definitely not going to move anybody. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, the Chronicles of the Sabonis struggle right now. When we get back, we will break down the type of player that Domas Sabonis struggles with. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sactown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. It is time. Okay, I've been out the game for a minute now, but, you know, those out there, you have your type, right? I like this color hair. I like these color eyes. Whatever it is, we are going to break down Domantas Sabonis' type that he struggles with. So we're going to go back and forth, Chris, and say pieces, and TC, great call before the break, and one of them, TC, had a good note on lower center of gravity. Strength is something that we have already alluded to. I'm going to add one here, Chris, to Domas' type to stop him. And I'm going to say centers that do not care about what they do offensively.
Mm.
I think that he struggles with guys who are just there to kind of bang around.
Yeah, put in a shift.
Yes, put in a shift, grab your lunch pail.
Some hockey enforcers.
Exactly. I think I would add that to the type of player that Domas struggles with.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at like his lowest point totals of the season. You have the 8-point performance against Houston, which in actually two of the both of the Houston games, he had 8 points in one and then 11 in the other. That's like, you know, Şengün is probably the only one that doesn't fit into that category.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
You have Golden State, he had 9 points. That's Looney. You have the Pelicans, he had 10 points. That's Valanciunas. You got the Lakers, interesting enough, he had 12 points on 5 of 8. That's actually kind of interesting. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, it does seem like those guys, like you said, the guys who aren't really exerting a ton of energy on the offensive end definitely have time to guard Sabonis. Right. They understand that that's what they're in there to
do. That's my job.
Their night is going to be judged off
Zubac
of how
last
he
night.
Does. Exactly. Yeah. Like, Zubac had a good game, not because, what did he finish with? Actually, he actually had a really good game in terms of stats, too. 14-8. He had a good game because Domantas Sabonis was a non-factor completely. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, it definitely makes your life harder, too. I mean, imagine, you know, yeah, you're going against somebody. Would you rather be going against somebody who's trying to do 8 different things? Like, does that sound easier to go against? Or a guy who's singularly focused on just trying to make your night difficult?
Right.
Like, that's going to be tough.
Exactly. So if you are only focused on defense, I think that you are going to give Sabonis some trouble. So you have defense, you have strength.
And length. I mean, just overall
what else, too.
I mean, yeah, if you're talking guys like Anthony Davis and you know, Rudy Gobert, those are the guys where you kind of think like, that's a little bit nerve-wracking for Sabonis because, yeah, like, even if you can't stay with him physically, if you can just kind of overwhelm him, I think you call it credit card hops.
Yes.
He can't really get off the ground that well, and so he's not, it seems like the only tool he really has in terms of getting separation is either his strength or his footwork. Mm-hmm. And again, people who are just long rangy guys, they're just going to be a wall. They're just going to stand up and say, you got to shoot it over me because unless you can either go through me or over me. And if you can't go through him, he just doesn't really have that deep of a, like, he's got great footwork. Mm-hmm. He's a very classic traditional center, but his footwork, like the game isn't played like that anymore. Like, you're not feeding him in the post and then going to say, Domas, go to work 8 times a game. So maybe he can get a guy 1 or 2 times with a nice little drop step or some, you know, whatever you want to call the Kareem, the dream shake or whatever. Yeah. He can get a couple guys a couple times a game, but he can't have a game fully predicated on, all right, let's feed Domas 12 times in the paint and let him go to work. So, yeah, I would definitely say length, strength, and having guys who are focused on slowing him down, that's really like the core three things.
Length, strength, guys that don't care about what they do offensively. Yeah. And I would add this as well, kind of part of the credit card hops. Funny enough, I would say centers that lack elite athleticism.
Sure.
Right? Because I think a lot of times, it's kind of similar because a lot of times those guys don't do too much offensively, but leapers like to leap.
Or they might not be strong either.
Right. Leapers like to leap. And if you can't leap, you don't have to worry about getting up in the air on Sabonis's pump fakes and things like that. So I think you've had credit card hops, right? Like a Kevon Looney or somebody like that. I'm just going to stick with you and I'm not moving on any of your moves. I'm not trying to block you. I'm not trying to do too much. I'm just going to sit there, and if you want to pull it on out and try to take a jump shot, that's on you. I'm good with it. So I think that's another thing that Domas, okay, well, he's not going for my fakes. I don't really have that counter move right now.
Right.
And if you're going to take 3 jump shots a game, that team is just going to live with them all day long. Now, I don't even know if we're saying you need to take more jump shots. I don't really know what we're saying.
No, I mean, I think the key for him is maybe just more being, I think it doesn't have to be resulting in jump shots, but it is sometimes, again, I talk a lot about having an ego and how sometimes it can be a good thing. I think it's just being more aggressive looking for his shot, because I do hear TC saying, and I agree with it sometimes, that he does look for that dribble handoff a lot. Like, it, that is his first look that he's going to. He's not looking for, oh, let me fake this dribble handoff because, you know, they're expecting it and you know, it's a counter for him, but he's looking to make that pass 8 out of 10 times, 7 out of 10 times, and it feels like there does need to be a little bit better of a balance of this guy being like, I'm a great offensive weapon as well, and though it is important to get those other guys going, everything kind of stems around me. So if I can get more attention and focus on me as a driver, well, that's going to help the dribble handoff work better as well, because then the guy who's guarding Kevin Huerter as he's running across that screen can't just solely focus on the Kevin Huerter element. He's going to try and shade over and stop Sabonis from driving as well. So, yeah, I think it really just overall Sabonis, I think everyone would like to see him be a little bit more aggressive, though. You know, 12 shots last night and he was 3 of 12. I don't think last night is the perfect opportunity for him to just be forcing it. It kind of felt like he didn't have a good matchup, and sometimes it is good to recognize, hey, sorry, guys, like, I just don't have it tonight. Now, that can't be every night, and that's the problem, is it can't be 2 nights in a row.
Are we using the B word? It looked like he got kind of benched last night.
No, I won't say benched. I would say that maybe Mike Brown went
a long rest.
No, I think that there's something about going to a different look. Like, I mean, he went to a smaller lineup, I think is more what I would say. And does that mean Sabonis? Sure. I mean, maybe it's a different way of spinning it, but no, I think it was less so had to do with Sabonis's personal play, more so just, hey, maybe stylistically, again, it makes a little bit more sense for us to run Sasha and Trey because of the perimeter shooting that it gives us, and Sabonis doesn't really give us perimeter shooting, though he does help with it. So I don't know. You can use whatever term. If you want to call it a benching, technically,
he played 31
minutes. For sure
he played 31 minutes.
Exactly.
So it's hard to say
it's not a
got benched.
Like, I would say Chris Duarte got benched. I would not say Domantas Sabonis got benched.
Chris Duarte, the curious case of the starter who does not play starter minutes,
no,
that just confuses me.
You know, yeah, it seems like one of those things where they put him in and see, okay, like, we like his physicality, we like the fact that he sets the tone, you know, defensively to start the game, but what really is going to dictate if he's going to play 20 minutes or not is if he's hitting his shots, and he had a couple good finishes yesterday, but he's not hitting his perimeter jumper right now, and that's kind of what the Kings need from their others, if you will.
Yeah, JaVale McGee, only 5 minutes, so it's not...
Yeah,
right.
They
that
didn't
would
run
be,
to him either.
You're saying that would be more so a benching.
Sure.
If Alex Len was playing, we
yes,
got JaVale,
exactly.
And they have 20, 25 minutes, and now, obviously, Sabonis would be down. So I hear you on that, but yeah, the curious case, and really not even the curious case of the Sabonis struggles, I think we know what it is. The question is, as we've said, when it comes to Harrison Barnes or whoever, you know, when you are who you are, you just who you are in this league, and it's okay. These are just going to be days where is that turned into a Mike Brown thing? Hey, we have one of those guys that seems to give Sabonis problems. Let me be ready with a counter.
Yeah,
because he does not.
I mean,
at some point,
try at the five something. I mean, yeah.
Right. To take it back to baseball, if there is a guy who struggles against the curveball and you're facing a pitcher who throws a lot of curveballs and you've seen him face a curveball and struggle over and over again, he's working on it in practice. He's working on it. Do you continue to say, okay, maybe he'll figure it out? Or you just say, I'm just going to have to drop him down in the lineup or sub somebody else in when that pitcher comes in?
Yeah.
That's
the decision. Yeah. That's the decision at hand.
Exactly.
And it's tough because the Kings' next two matchups are Denver, Nikola Jokic, and
does
then New Orleans on Monday against Jonas Valanciunas. So those are two really tough tests. And I'll tell you what, Sabonis cannot have four straight bad games in a row. That's for like, he can, but like the fan base is not going to be happy if he has four bad games in a row.
Jokic is interesting because he's not very good defensively,
right.
but
he almost fits the profile.
Right. And
Domas
is going to be tired defensively himself
from
guarding
Jokic.
So it's going to be a tough go. We will continue to monitor that and see if Trey Lyles can get back. He's gone a little bit cold from three ball land and, you know, JaVale McGee. And hopefully we get an update at some point for Alex Len. It doesn't seem like it's incredibly close, but it would be nice to have that option as well. But every team is dealing with injuries. That's just how it goes. Also, GP2, I mean, you do never like to see this.
Yeah, the terrible.
The torn calf. And I know we joke a lot about the Warriors, but injuries stink all teams involved. And GP2, great story.
Yeah.
Great story. You know, we know his background with his dad and everything like that. And he goes to the G League. He was almost out of the league. He was trying to be a video coordinator at some point. Has this resurgence. So, rough
terrible.
For GP2.
Yeah,
rough for
GP2. Like,
and he was balling against the Kings.
He was. No, he's a really important piece for that Warriors team. I mean, in that finals run that they made, I really feel like he was vastly underrated or undervalued in terms of how important he was, especially in those non-Steph minutes that they just love to talk about. That's a massive, massive loss for them. He's so good defensively. And, yeah, you look at the guards that they have besides that. We saw it the other night. I mean, you have Chris Paul, who's up there in age, I think is safe to say.
Injured as well.
And not a good defender at this point in his career. Steph Curry, who's never been a good defender, good team defender. And then you have Corey Joseph. Like, they don't have a guy to go throw on guards. And we've already seen them struggle with guarding guys like De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk. And now they're going to be relying on Corey Joseph to stop those guards.
Kojo. Shout out Kojo.
A lot of Kojo time.
Gotta get to a break. When we get back, De'Aaron Fox and his MVP candidacy. Sometimes, does the dude just need to be the dude? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Nate Littlefield doing his thing behind the glass. Chris Verlaw is still here because he's just such a hard worker.
Hard worker.
That's right.
Yeah, the hardest.
That's right. He's not even turning around. That's how hard he's working. There he is. And there he is as we take you up to 2 p.m., and we've talked about the struggles of Domantas Sabonis and how basically nobody decided to show up to Golden 1 last night besides De'Aaron Fox and Sasha Vezenkov. And, you know, Chris, sometimes I don't want to say you just got to worry about yourself, but that's honestly what it felt to me last night. We talked about how De'Aaron trying to get his average up, and, you know, just the MVP, the whole package, and you miss a bunch of free throws against the Warriors, but you still get the W.
Yep.
Do you think at one point De'Aaron said, look, if we come back, it's cool, but this is just a day where I'm going to get mine?
No, I don't think he said that.
In his mind.
No, I don't think so.
No, but just at, I really but don't just think at so. Some point, okay, if you guys help me, the Kevin Hart, help me, but if not, I'm going to just do my thing.
I don't think that that's how it was phrased in his head. I feel like, if anything, it was probably like a, look, it gets to a point where clearly nobody else has it, so clearly I've got to do something. Like, if you want something done, you got to do it yourself kind of thing. And I think, if anything, it was that kind of mentality. It didn't feel like it was a, hey, like, y'all understand, I'm trying to do something bigger than whatever. Not bigger than the team. There's nothing
but the team. I'm going to get mine tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't feel like that. It did just feel like he's, more times than not, he's the best scoring option on the floor. And again, if the Kings were going to make a comeback in a night where, checking the box here, nobody can make anything, then it was going to have to be him. So if anything, I would take it as he read the room quicker than maybe what he's done in the past.
But I'm not saying that it would be a negative thing. I'm saying to be a MVP.
Yeah.
There are nights like
the way
this.
That.
You got to be selfish
sometimes. You're
making
it sound almost sounds too selfish.
No, but you have to be selfish sometimes. If you guys cannot.
I don't think you
but
it, have
no, you
to
do.
Be.
If you guys cannot hit the backside of a barn,
yeah.
At least I'm going to get these numbers up.
I just don't think that he actually thought that. Like, I really don't. Like, I think that he truly did think about it in the context of the game. Of,
no,
like,
I agree.
It gets to 13, and he's like, look, the only way we're going to cut into this lead is through me scoring.
Chris.
I don't think he's thinking in the middle of the game, I need this MVP season.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, okay, and we'd have to play back the plays, but it gets to a point where Kevin is kind of open, but But I gave you enough chances, or Sabonis is kind of open. But I'm going to just take this shot.
Sure.
That, but that still helps the team.
Maybe. I mean, not necessarily. In that sense, it doesn't. Because that's no, it's like.
I'm not going to wait for you to keep going.
If he's making that decision, then that's selfish. Because De'Aaron Fox would even have to admit that giving the ball to Kevin Huerter is a better option than him taking that three.
Not when you can't make. Not when Kevin is nicking the rim, barely touching the rim. Wouldn't he airball? Somebody airballed.
It was Davion. It was Davion. Okay, he aired it twice. He pretty much spiritually aired it twice.
There you go. But Huerter had one that barely grazed. If you were playing pickup half court, there would be an argument.
Man, you gotta trust teammates.
No, there would be an argument as to whether you need to recheck up the ball, clear it. Do you have to clear it? Because I barely hit the rim. I'm just saying, okay, a couple nights ago, Steph Curry, we saw and Klay actually was a little bit hot to start out the game.
Yep.
I was worried about that, and then he turned back into Klay Thompson. The end of the game, everybody, you know, the slow-mo showed Klay Thompson wide open.
Yeah.
Steph Curry was taking that shot.
He was taking that shot, yeah.
And Steph Curry deserves to take that shot.
Absolutely.
And we feel the same way about De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
And that has to be your mindset. And De'Aaron got to a point last night.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with it. He got to a point and said, you guys aren't helping me. I'm going to get mine. And in the course of getting mine, I'm going to help the team. De'Aaron getting his
I don't know what you want
De'Aaron,
from me.
De'Aaron getting his helps the team.
It does. No, it definitely does.
So what's
yes.
the problem?
I think I just didn't like how you phrased it. I think the way you phrased it made it seem like the game be damned. I'm going to get mine,
and if the result
comes with that,
cool.
No.
What?
No, I don't think so.
That's the way
I
you
really
look at it.
I really don't think so. No, I don't think so. Because that makes it sound like you're just putting your head down. It don't matter if someone's open. Yeah, like it's a way too Russell Westbrook for
you. No, but I think you misunderstand.
I think so.
No.
I think that there is a misunderstanding here.
Hey, man, I want to win this ball game.
Yep.
I'm the best option, so I'm going to get in the kitchen like Gordon Ramsay, Guy Fieri, and I'm going to cook. And I don't need a sous chef.
Yeah.
I don't need a line cook because you guys been burning the souffle. Okay. You've been overcooking the meat.
Yep.
So it's time for, I'm going to just do it myself. You know, in Hex Kitchen, I don't know if I can say HEXX. You know, in Hex Kitchen, when Gordon Ramsay gets ticked off and kicks them out and just has his chef finish.
Familiar. Yeah.
That's what De'Aaron Fox said. There's nothing.
I'll just complete the meal for
you. I'm just complete the meal myself because you're messing up. I got G-Eazy or whoever in the corner. There's always a B-list celebrity.
It is.
G-Eazy. That's what happened.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it feels like maybe we're going back and forth on semantics, but I don't know.
No,
to me,
when you're bringing up, the audiobook, did you read or not?
No.
Did you read an audiobook?
No, I mean, to me, it's more just I've seen games in which I've felt what you're describing where it does feel like De'Aaron. I'm specifically thinking of that Warrior game earlier in the season where I felt that way. I felt like
terrible efficiency.
All right, this is ridiculous. Like De'Aaron's just, he doesn't trust his teammates. He is just pulling. And it is, I don't even think that was him just trying to get his at that moment. I thought that was also him just saying, if we're going to get this done, it's going to be through me. I just don't think that there is any amount of this is about me in the game.
No, but
I think
I'm not
it
saying
is more
that.
Just, okay. Well, that's what I'm hearing is what I'm saying.
I'm saying subconsciously.
I don't think so. I mean, I can't speak to his subconscious, but from what I have heard De'Aaron Fox say, at least verbally.
But Chris, nobody's
going to
say
media.
It, though.
I mean, you can hint at it, though. Like, you can tell people's true intentions. You can read between the lines. I just truly, like, De'Aaron, every time he talks, is really about the team. And you can say that's team speak, whatever. But again, I think that during points, you can read between the lines. You can tell guys' true intentions. Actions speak louder than words. I just don't think that it didn't seem selfish.
I'm not saying it was selfish. I'm not saying it was selfish. I'm saying he had a way. He didn't have to be selfish because nobody was hitting. It's selfish if her.
Sasha was hitting.
It's selfish.
Malik was hitting.
You got another one?
Yeah, you're good.
Are you being a king hater right now?
That was literally all. Those were the only two that were hitting.
No, I want De'Aaron. ball till you fall. I want De'Aaron to, hey, if y'all aren't coming with me, if you're still in the locker room, I'm playing, and I'm getting mine.
Do you think he was hindering the team, though, by getting his?
No, he wasn't.
Then what's the issue?
I don't know. Chris just doesn't like how I presented it.
I didn't think I had the issue. What? My feelings for last night, De'Aaron's point total, this is what I will say. I will say I am very glad that De'Aaron Fox is clearly taking a massive leap, because I believe that the thing that separates stars from superstars, from MVP conversation, are people who show up every single night and do it.
That's right. You have to read your team. And when you read your team and doesn't look like they got it, there's no I in team.
I just think in general, there is a me. He was efficient last night. He was great from the free throw line. I just think that in general, your stars have to show up. And on a night where nobody else shows up, your MVP, your superstar has to say, well, I showed up today. And to me, that's not about point totals.
That's right.
To me, that's about effort. And that, I mean, point totals come with it. But to me, that effort is where it starts. And yesterday, again, I cannot say that on the second night of a back-to-back, De'Aaron showed any signs of rust, and he showed up yesterday.
No, all I'm saying is there were probably some opportunities. I could kick this out, but y'all ain't really with it today.
Sure.
That's all. Okay, yes. There you go. We got there. Got to get to a break. When we get back, Coach Mike Brown says he's not trying to build a team that gets eliminated in the first two rounds. What does he mean by that? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. A lot to talk about De'Aaron Fox. A lot to talk about Domas Sabonis. The 916, if you want to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140. Domas should be well rested for Saturday after taking the last two games off. I mean, come on. That's messed up. I mean, you're not wrong. I would expect Domas to show up against Jokic after these last two games.
He's done really well against Nikola Jokic in his past, so it would not surprise me.
Are you happy I stole him as your dog yesterday? Because remember, he was your dog
right.
in the game.
That's right. We haven't even talked about the dogs. I mean,
the dogs are going back in.
The dogs are going back to the kennel. Yeah. I had Trey Lyles. That was a miss.
We were so hyped, dude.
We were.
Yesterday. We're playing the noises. We had the Draymond light the beam sound.
That feels a long time ago. That feels decades ago.
I felt like I was a different person then. And now
I think we all were different.
Yeah, now I'm
Chris, who did
a shell.
You have?
I had Sasha.
So you're on a heater.
Wow.
You're on a bit.
I guess you've earned this then, huh?
Light the beam! Light it!
I don't think anybody earned that yesterday.
No, and Warrior fans are still hitting me up. Hey,
that hurt, man.
You can't lose to other teams.
No, they literally said you didn't have anything to say this morning or last night. Now that you didn't have, someone said not the same without 42 free throws, huh? I don't know, man. Worry about your dumpster fire in the Bay.
Run your race.
I feel like I got caught with my ankles out. I feel weak, man.
Yo,
it's tough. Yo.
Mike McDaniel. There you go. Mike Brown had some things to say about building a team that doesn't get eliminated in the first two rounds.
Oh, man.
And, you know, I think that it's really important to keep a broader look at this, because it's easy to get caught up in, okay, we got to start out hot. You don't want to get lost or get too far behind, but you also don't want to get caught up in, we lost this game, it's over. Kind of like what we've been doing.
Right. Of course, yeah. You know? I mean, it's tough to not get lost in the minutia of, like, what's going on in the season and, you know, what's going on game to game. Like, it's tough to not take the step back, and that's why, you know, fans don't make decisions. That's why there's coaches and GMs, because everyone needs to keep a different perspective on it. But, yeah, I thought what Mike Brown said yesterday in the pregame was just – really insightful about how, you know, this team was ridiculous on offense last year, and they were bad on defense as well, like really bad on defense. And how does he kind of try and find that balance of, you know, still having a good offense, but understanding, I mean, Mike Brown's been around this league so much, he understands that you just can't win unless you're passable defensively. We saw last year the Nuggets be 15, and that was good enough to win. The Kings probably have to be a top 13 defense, right, if they want to be able to realistically be in title contention. And
17, you know, right now.
Yeah, 17 right now, slowly climbing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you got to commit to that end if you ultimately want to not just be a fun, cute story and you want to turn into, like, an actual scary team.
There you go. All right, let's hear from Mike Brown and what he had to say.
You know, I'm not trying to trick our guys or hide anything from our guys. Hey, yeah, we're pushing you, but we can be better than what we were last year defensively. And the offense is going to catch up. Now, it could be frustrating to them. It could be frustrating to maybe even you guys and our fans because they're used to us scoring 130 and knocking down shots and the offense flowing and looking beautiful. And everybody's like, well, just put everybody out there that can shoot. Well, you know, I'm not just trying to go to playoffs and losing the first round. Sometimes when you try to take that next step of going from good to great, you got to roll the dice a little bit. And at the end of the day, it may not work. But I know I don't want to have the same result that we had last year. And, you know, I've been around the league a long time. There were some great, great, great offensive teams that were fun to watch during the regular season, year after year after year after year. But year after year after year after year, they were a first or second round exit team, and I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be one of those teams that everybody said, great offense, couldn't defend, never made it past the semifinals of the conference. Not fun for me. Okay. And it's not fun for anybody in that locker room, I don't think.
There you go. I'm trying to think off the top of my head some of the teams that would you say. You put the D'Antoni Suns in that category, or some of the
What's
teams.
That? Good offenses.
Right. Some of the teams that he said, I've been around a long time, and they just had a great offense. And just because, really, to be honest, it's not even, I know we're focused on the defense, but it's both sides, right? You just have to be a balanced team if you're going to go deep into the playoffs, because their teams, I would think about the Memphis Grizzlies with Z-Bo.
Right.
I mean,
grit and grind. Yeah.
Grit and grind, but offensively. Nobody is really too scared of you, so it's really
you
a balance.
You have to win defensively.
Right, it's a balance.
Yeah, you never want to be one-dimensional. I mean, it makes sense, especially if you want to be a title contender. Like, you can be a tough out. You can be a fun team to watch, but that doesn't mean success. And like Mike Brown said, it's great. It's cool to be one of those teams. You could kind of argue that the early 2000s Kings were one of those teams where it was really, I mean, I would say that team was built for success. And of course, we know why they didn't reach that success. But, you know, how the story ended up being told is, that's a fun team. That's a fun story, much like the grit and grind Grizzlies. Mike Brown's not trying to build that here. He's not just trying to build a novelty product. He's not just trying to, the Kings were a bad, you know, a losing team for 16 years. Let's just turn this team into a playoff, you know, a perennial playoff team that is churning out money year after year after year. No, like that's not what he's here to do. And that's great to hear, because maybe it's because Kings coaches haven't even gotten to the point to be able to talk like this, but we haven't heard a Kings coach talk like this. I don't think ever. It's always been, you know, getting to that first step of going to the playoffs and getting that monkey off your back. Well, obviously no one has even gotten to that point, but we just haven't heard a Kings coach talk with such conviction. And we've heard this from media day on: championship, championship, championship. It's not good enough to be a first, or, you know, we talk beaming or dreaming, the Kings making the second round. Right. Mike Brown don't care about that.
No.
That's not good enough. And I love to hear that. I love to hear that that's the level of expectation they have, because, you know, sometimes you got to shoot for the stars and sometimes you just land on the moon. You know, like it's okay to not always reach your goal, but you got to kind of have those lofty expectations to slowly progress. And I think this team is at least on the right track, right? Like 10-7 last year, 10-7 this year. It feels like at the bare minimum, we can be happy with no regression, and it does seem like, at least eye test wise, this team is different than it was last year. You shouldn't run into similar issues that you did. It might not results wise at the end of the year be different, but at least you're trying different things. It's not insanity doing the same thing over and over and just slowly trying to get better. They're actually trying to be different and be better by being different.
Yes. And, you know, it always comes up how realistic you should be about your expectations. I don't expect any team, I mean, you would be crazy to hop up there, say, yeah, we just want to make it past the second round, right? Mike Brown would probably be out of a job, right? You cannot do that. But you also have to, if you're going to set lofty goals and expectations, you have to show why, right? Hey, when you know you would go to your parents, hey, I deserve a raise in my allowance, and this is why. You can't just say, I want to raise my allowance. Why? I don't know. You know, take it to work.
I just want more money.
Right. Yeah. I deserve, you know, our parents growing up, people would just give you raises and promotions. Now you have to sell yourself. Hey, this is why I deserve this promotion. This is why I deserve this raise. So this is why I believe we can be a championship team, and this is what we're going to do to prove it. You have a Ja Morant who will say, I'm the best guard to ever touch basketball. Stop it. You don't believe it, and you're clearly not doing things to show us that you are that. People were joking about Trae Young. Why? Because Trae Young said, yeah, you know, when we win that championship, a lot of people will look at me differently. He said that this summer, right, compared to Luka, blah, 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 blah. Well, Trae, I don't believe you. You know why? Because you're one of the worst defenders in the league, and your team doesn't play any defense, and you have to play defense to win a championship. So what's the difference between the Atlanta Hawks, who Whitey Gleason has picked to go, to the NBA Cup Finals. They are officially out, but Whitey's still alive with the other half, with the Kings. So what is the difference between the Atlanta Hawks saying that and the Sacramento Kings saying that? Because the Sacramento Kings, not that I watch the Atlanta Hawks every day as much as I watch the Kings, but the Sacramento Kings are making strides to be better. The Atlanta Hawks were just a part of a game. The over, I think 500, what was it, 150 to 170 or something?
That Pacers game.
It looked like an all-star game. So it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to be about it. And what we're seeing night in and night out is that Mike Brown, from Sasha Vezenkov to Domas Sabonis to Chris Duarte, the whole roster, they're doing their best to be about it. And I think that's why, when he says something like that, it has more legs than a Ja Morant or a Trae Young or anybody. And De'Aaron Fox, when you were there at Media Day with Whitey Gleason, and it just the aura in the room was that it's not championship or bust, but we want to be a part of something special here, which is why you were roasting me last segment about De'Aaron Fox caring about his stats. It's because they are really about it right now, whereas all these guys throughout the league say some ridiculous things with no legs, and we can tell.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, that's been the best thing about this I don't know what you want to call it, regime, this current since the Mike Brown era started, is, you know, we've heard a lot of talk of, yeah, we're going to take the defensive end seriously and all that stuff, but Mike Brown is about it. From his early timeouts to, like you said, I mean, you posed the question, was it a benching of Sabonis, whatever you want to call it, having the guts to not play your one of your best players, and you know, he talked about it yesterday in the pregame as well, like being able to pull Harrison Barnes the second half of that Warrior, or the fourth quarter of that Warrior game, and just not have it be a big thing that has to be a team meeting, or, you know, you have to have a conversation. He's been about it since he got here, and to everyone's credit, he's has them sign those all-in contracts. The team has been all in as well. Like, they've been a big part of it as well, because it's not easy to truly sacrifice for the team. Like, it's not easy for Davion Mitchell to get those DNP CDs for Keon Ellis, a guy who's a two-way contract, just because Mike believes that it's going to make the team better. But Davion did, and then he came back in, and look at him now. He's back in the rotation. Like, it takes a level of commitment from the players and from the organization, the front office. And I think it all started with Mike Brown. I think that he set the level of expectation from day one, and he has not let go of those reins at all. There is no easy days off with Mike Brown. He's super consistent every day, and he lives by it as well. It's not just all talk. He'll pull you, he'll call a timeout, and he'll yell at you right in front of everybody every single time.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, the question was posed by our guy, Kyle Draper, last night, NBC Sports California. Could De'Aaron Fox go down as one of the best Sacramento Kings, or the best Sacramento King of all time. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.